10, the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 10. I'll ask you a question first, mainly the ladies. I guess maybe this might be applicable to men. 10, Ecclesiastes 10. Ladies, if you go home and you open up your container of precious ointment and there's a fly in it, a dead fly, would you use it or would you throw it away? Well, if there was a dead fly in it and it caused it to send forth a stinking smell, nope, wouldn't use it. This is the imagery that Saul gives us today in the text. Solomon, who did I say? Did I say Solomon? That Solomon gives us in the text. I said Saul. Oh, boy, that's messed up. Strike that from the record. 10:1 of Ecclesiastes. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. A wise man's heart is at his right hand. Now, don't get offended, left-handed people, because he's not talking about you being left-handed. But a fool's heart is at his left. The implication is that the word hand is there, but he's not. Saul's not saying that left-handed people are fools. It's got nothing to do with your handedness. So a wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart is at his left. Yea, also, when he that is a fool walketh by the way, his wisdom faileth him. And he saith to everyone that he is a fool. Let's pray. Father, we ask for your blessings. Oh God, I pray that we would cherish your precious word. I pray that it would be sweeter to us than honey. Oh God, I pray that we would love thy word, thy precepts, thy commands. Father, these are the laws, the words, the precepts, the commands of the kingdom of Christ. And so, Father, help us to love them. Forgive us when we are cold towards thy word. Father, we long for that day when we will drop this sinful flesh. We long for that day when we shall no more be corruption and sin, but we will be raised incorruptible. Father, we long for that day when we will live in thy presence without sin. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So first, the perfumed ointment. The making of a fragrant ointment takes time. Takes the right ingredients, takes skill. Now, here, I'm going to give you an example. Think about the skill of the apothecary. An apothecary is a perfumer, one that made precious ointment. You remember Mary when she went into the house and anointed Jesus with the very precious spikenard ointment. Do you remember that what it says in John chapter 12? It says in fact, Matthew, Mark, and Luke give a different account, but it says when the woman broke that container, it filled the house with that fragrance of that spikenard ointment. Very precious, expensive ointment. So I'm going to give you an example of the apothecary who made the holy anointing oil for the tabernacle. Now, this holy anointing oil was not just some spices, some sweet spices, some cinnamon, some galbanum, some myrrh, some olive. It wasn't just a bunch of stuff that the apothecary or the perfumer threw into a pot and made instantly. But there were precise measurements and specific ingredients, these sweet spices that were mixed together as directed by God to Moses. And all by the art and skill of the perfumer, the apothecary. Look at Exodus. Let me show you this. Exodus chapter 30. The book of Exodus chapter 30. So now keep the picture in your mind. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary, which, understand this, it took time to make that. It took time, it took skill. It took the emphasis of the perfumer to do that. He probably had a mortar and pestle. You know what that is? To crush the spices, to crush the sweet incense and the things that he needed. So in Exodus 30:22, Moses gives us the instructions, because listen, the chief apothecary here is God. It's just like you might say, who was the architect of the ark? Well, it wasn't Noah, it was God. God was the architect. God gave him all the dimensions. God gave it all to him. God told him what to put between the seams of the wood. So here in verse 22, moreover, the Lord, chapter 30, verse 22, moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take thou also unto thee principal spices. You know what that means? Principal means chief spices, the best. Got to take the best that you got. Spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, and sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels of sweet calamus, 250 shekels, and of cassia, 500 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, and of oil, olive, and hin. And thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound, or a holy blend. After the art of the apothecary, it shall be an holy anointing oil. And thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation therewith, and the ark of the testimony. You have to imagine there had to be a beautiful fragrance around it. And the table and all the vessels and the candlestick and his vessels and the altar of incense and the altar of burnt offering with all his vessels and the laver and his foot. And thou shalt sanctify them, that they may be most holy. Whatsoever toucheth them shall be holy. And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. They will be anointed with this holy anointing oil. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, this shall be an holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured. Don't take this home and rub it on you after your bath. It's not for that. Neither shall you make any other like it after the composition of it. It is holy. It shall be holy unto you. Why? Because it was singularly for the Lord. Whosoever compoundeth any like it, or whosoever putteth any of it upon a stranger, shall even be cut off from his people. And the Lord said unto Moses, take unto thee sweet spices of sacti, onycha, and galbanum, these sweet spices with pure frankincense, of each there shall be a like weight. And thou shalt make it a perfume, a confection, a mixture after the art of the apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy. And thou shalt beat some of it very small, and put of it before the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation, where I will meet with thee. It shall be unto you most holy. And as for the perfume which thou shalt make, ye shall not make to yourselves according to the composition or this blend and mixture of sweet spices thereof. It shall be unto thee holy for the Lord. Whosoever shall make like unto that to smell thereto for common use shall even be cut off from his people. And so the holy ointment, as you can imagine, the tabernacle gave off a sweet fragrance, a sweet aroma. And we understand from what we read, it was not for common use, but only for the Lord in the tabernacle of the congregation. So here's an example of a precious ointment that was made by the art of the apothecary. Now, next, Solomon describes the effects of a little folly or foolishness on someone who has an honorable and wise reputation in the imagery of dead flies in the ointment. Now, we just read about the holy ointment, but we're talking about simply a precious ointment, like the ointment that Mary used, or the ointment that we see in the New Testament when the woman broke that alabaster box. That wasn't this ointment. Even though it was only a little folly. So you see, a little foolishness on someone with an honorable and a wise reputation. Now you got this now. You're an honorable and wise person out in the world. You go out in the world, you got your reputation. And you do one thing. One stupid, foolish thing. You say something or you do something. And I'll tell you, it doesn't matter how much good you've done. Could have been for 20 years. That one fly, that one little bit of foolishness, you will lose your reputation. Your life, which was a sweet aroma to those around you, will now stink. So even though it was only a little folly, it was only a brief moment of foolishness, and yet the effect is significant. What was once sweet-smelling and fragrant ointment, Solomon teaches us, is now full of the stench of death, the stench of dead flies. So first from Exodus 30, understand, and we said this, that it took time and the art and skill of the apothecary, along with specific sweet spices, ingredients, to create the ointment. And so consider, Christian, if you would have a wise, a godly, and an honorable reputation, it doesn't just happen. You don't just get that. You're not just born and go out into the world and all of a sudden you're honored, honorable, and wise. No, it takes work. Doesn't just happen. And it won't come, Christian, without the best ingredients of heaven, the best graces of heaven bestowed upon you. Consider the words and love of Christ. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. This is how you receive the honor that's not of men, but the honor that only comes from God. Listen, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, but then let us fill ourselves with the truth of God's word, that we might be filled with the wisdom of God. And that the honor that we possess would be from Christ himself. So, beloved, we need the best graces of heaven, the words and love of Christ, holiness, humility, integrity, pureness, and singleness of heart. These are necessary graces for the Christian. There's more, but I won't name them all. So as the apothecary mixes the sweet spices and makes that holy blend of spices to make the fragrant aroma for the tabernacle, these graces, Christian, must be cultivated into your heart and life if you would have wisdom and honor. And not a wisdom and an honor that you would brag about. See, when these graces become part of your life, God's wisdom has entered into your heart and God's knowledge has become pleasant unto your soul. This is how wisdom and honor from God comes to any of us. It must be blended into our hearts by the great apothecary of heaven. We must have his graces. Wisdom is God's truth, practically and rightly lived in the life of any Christian, the one who possesses it. Once one who is honorable and has a good reputation, it's described as one who is highly esteemed, worthy of respect and admiration. You know people that are honorable. You say he's an honorable man, or she's an honorable woman, or she's esteemed highly. The wisest and honorable ones in the world are so because they know in and of themselves that they are nothing apart from the all-wise God. And because they are worthy of no honor at all. That's the most honorable of men and women in the world. But even wisdom and honor which God gives to us can be instantly lost by one act of foolishness. One act of foolishness. And a man had in wisdom and honor can lose that. You think Solomon knew something about that? I think that he did. He was a man that was, the queen of the south went there and she said, the half was not told to me. And this was before we hear that outlandish women drew Solomon's heart away from God. And so he lost much of his honor. And he didn't display the wisdom that we see in his first years as king. I want to show you something back in Exodus, if you're still there. In Exodus 30, 36, here's something else necessary. Of those necessary sweet spices, look at verse 36. I want you to see this. Scripture says in verse 35, it says they're tempered together. They're pure and holy. Verse 36 says, and thou shalt beat some of it very small and put it before the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation, where I will meet with thee, and it shall be unto you most holy. Listen, for this ointment, for this incense to have a pleasing fragrance before the Lord, the mixture had to be tempered, crushed to pieces, and then beaten very small. And God says, that's where I will meet with you, saith the Lord. And here one cannot help but think of the Lord Jesus Christ, bruised and crushed and beaten for our iniquities and our sins. There was no sin. There were no blemishes. There were no spots in him. There was not 1 ounce of folly in Christ. No flies in this precious ointment. But he was the sweetest of smelling savors unto God, most precious. Beloved, if we would keep ourselves from the sins of folly and foolishness, if we would honor God in our lives and be a sweet fragrance unto God, we must first be brought low for our sins. We must put away the little sins. See, so often, I think as we go out into the world, we look at some small sins and we think they're innocuous. Means harmless. That's harmless. It's not a big deal. But Solomon in the Song of Solomon says, it's the little foxes that spoil the vines. Beloved, we must never look at any sin as if it's nothing. Listen, we must be humbled. We must be beaten very small before our Father and our God, like these sweet spices, when crushed under the hand of the apothecary under his mortar and pestle. These sweet spices, I want you to know, and you will know this practically if you did it yourselves, sweet spices will only give forth their sweet aroma and fragrance after they have been crushed and beaten very small. The sweet graces of Christ will only come forth from a humble heart that abhors all manner of sins, especially the little sins of foolishness. See, we think of foolishness as, it's not a big deal when we act a fool. The Apostle Paul in the Ephesians, I think, he says, there were certain sins, let them not be once named among you. Foolish talking and jesting. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him. That's really bad. More hope of a fool. And so, beloved, let us consider this a little folly. Just a little folly. It's just a little joke. It's just something small. But the sweet graces of Christ come from humble hearts that abhor folly. Therefore, keep yourself away from all foolishness and folly, brethren. It will ruin your testimony and reputation. Just like flies will ruin a precious ointment. It'll make your life, which was a sweet aroma, to stink. Just like the flies will cause a precious ointment to stink. Song of Solomon, again, it is the little foxes that spoil the vines. Song of Solomon 2:15. 1 Corinthians 5:6. Not a lot of leaven, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Just a little. Ecclesiastes 9:18, it's right in the text. Above it, one sinner destroyeth much good. One sinner destroyeth much good. You remember in Exodus 34, you don't have to turn there, but do you remember that Dinah, Jacob and Leah's daughter, went out to see the daughters of the land? In Old Testament language, that was like letting her go out into the world. Shechem found her. They had sexual relations. He in turn fell in love with her and went to Jacob and to Jacob's brothers. And he seemed to somewhat after this be somewhat of an honorable kid. Simeon and Levi said, circumcise all your men and we will make marriages with your daughters and you can make marriages and we'll become one people. Well, they lied. And after all of the men circumcised themselves, Simeon and Levi went through the town and pulled out the swords and killed them all. The second day after they were very sore, they couldn't fight. Jacob was an honorable man in the land. Jacob told his sons, you have made me to stink among the inhabitants of the land. So Jacob's reputation was affected by their sin. And so you kind of get an idea of these dead flies in the ointment of the apothecary. Derek Kidner said this, it takes far less time to ruin something than to create it. It takes far less time to ruin something than to create it. How many lives, and young people, listen to me, how many young lives are ruined by one foolish act? One foolish act and your life is changed forever. Forever. So be so careful. And then verses 2 and 3, Solomon sets before us the wise-hearted in contrast to those who are of a foolish heart. Now, Ecclesiastes 2:13, he said this already. If you go back there, Ecclesiastes 2:13 and 14, Solomon talked about the wise man and the fool. He said in verse 13 of chapter 2 in Ecclesiastes, I saw that wisdom excels folly as far as light excelleth darkness. It's so much better. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness, and I myself perceived also that one event happeneth to them all. So Solomon contrasts wisdom and folly as having our heart either at our right hand or at our left. And again, he's not talking about left-handed people, that they're fools. He's not saying the idea here is the wise are so because they are led by godly wisdom into the good and right ways of the Lord. But fools go astray because their hearts are full of foolishness. That's why, parents, the Bible says, drive foolishness far from your children as soon as possible. Because the Bible says the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. See, the wise man or woman's heart, the wise boy or girl's heart, inclines them to do what is right. And that's the wisdom of God within. A fool's heart inclines him to do that which is wrong. So, Christian, listen, this is a warning to us as well, because many a Christian have played the fool. And so we need to protect our hearts. I would encourage you to read John Bunyan's The Battle for Man's Soul. It's excellent of keeping the soul safe. But turn back to Proverbs 4:23 and we'll finish. Keep thy heart here, Solomon says, above all keeping. Listen, your heart is you. It's the seat of the affections. It's your understanding. It's your will. It's your desires. It's so dangerous to let the world in. Don't let the world in. Look at Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence. It means above all keeping. For out of it, out of your heart, are the issues of life. Then he says, put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips put far from thee. That is godly wisdom. Let thine eyelids look right on. This is godly wisdom. And let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder or weigh carefully the path of thy feet. Before you do something, Young people, listen, before you make a dumb decision, think about it. Go ask mama and daddy. Come ask me. Ask somebody that's got some wisdom. Let thine eyelids look right on. Ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Means fixed in the ways of God. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. And so back to our text in Ecclesiastes 10. So remember, if we dishonor ourselves in the world, Christian, we've dishonored Christ. Our lives should send forth a sweet aroma to others. We should have godly wisdom. We should have godly integrity. We should have the honor that would honor God. But foolishness in the life of a child of God will make the light to stink. You'll lose your reputation. I mean, look, let's not beat around the bush. We've all done it. I've done it. And it takes so long to get past that circumstance of foolishness and to rebuild by the grace of God that wisdom and that honor again, which only comes from God. Listen, the best place that we could be in it is to be like those little sweet spices, beaten very small, humble before the Lord. Brethren, that's where we need to stay. And listen, love the Word of God. Listen, learn how to love the truth of God's Word. It is your very life. It's your necessary food. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Listen, I've said this, I've said it before, I'll say it again, and I'll be through. You talk to someone for any length of time, and you could tell what they love, because they're going to talk about what they like, what they love. It ought not be so, child of God, if someone talks to you, that your love for Christ shouldn't come out. The Bible says in Song of Solomon, chapter 1 and verse 3, sweet-smelling myrrh dropped from his lips, the lips of Christ. That beautiful fragrance, that grace. Grace, Psalm 45, is poured into thy lips. That should be us. We should know how to speak a good word in due season. So remember, beloved, when we dishonor ourselves, we dishonor Christ. Let us not do that. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. Remember, a wise man's heart is at his right hand, the fool's is at his left. Let your ways be established in the ways of God, brethren. Amen. Let's dismiss in prayer.